My guest at this time is Kyle Kondik. He is the managing editor of Sabatow's Crystal Ball. That would be Larry Sabatow of the University of Virginia. They work for the UVA Center for Politics. And with just a couple of days, 4 days left before the midterm elections, some of the predictions in that crystal ball are starting to solidify, including the crystal ball saying we should bet on a Republican Senate as well as GOP gains in the House. Kyle's here to help us dive into why that's likely to be the case. And Kyle, thanks for being with us.
Hey, no problem. The Republicans came into this year with a really good Senate map to compete on. There are seven seats currently held by Democrats in states that Mitt Romney won in the last presidential election. Most of those states were actually deeply Republican states that went for Romney in 2012. And it looks like the Republicans are going to win most of them eventually. Louisiana, they're probably favored in, but that state's going to go to a runoff in December. And so, you know, the dynamic there is a little bit different. And so, but just, you know, sort of starting off, the Democrats are very much overextended on this Senate map. It was last contested in 2008, which, of course, is a very good Democratic year. And it's pretty natural in American politics for there to be kind of a surge, you know, that was the Democrats 2008, and then a decline, particularly 6 years later in the second midterm of a two-term president. And so just sort of structurally, the Republicans were set up well. And, you know, midterm elections are also oftentimes a backlash against the president's party, and this year is no exception, particularly when the president is unpopular, as Obama is. And so you sort of put those two together, and the Republicans are poised for a pretty decent night.
From the get-go, the Republicans were licking their chops at three pickups, West Virginia, South Dakota, and Montana, which still look very good for them. Arkansas has been looking much better for them lately, taking down potentially Senator Mark Pryor. That's what you've got that leaning as well. Mm-hmm. That's four. Then you also have them kind of taking several of these states that have been really, really competitive, Iowa, Colorado, Alaska. Is this generally the case that when there's an obvious party doing better than the other in an election, that those really tight races tend to go in the same direction?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. I mean, obviously, sometimes the party on the wrong side of the wave holds on. You know, I think back to 2010, and Democrats held on in Colorado with Harry Reid and Michael Bennett Harry Reid in Nevada and Michael Bennett in Colorado. But generally speaking, you know, if your party's doing poor nationally or doing poorly nationally, you know, the lot of the seats get wiped away. I don't think the Republicans are going to have as big of a night as is possible. I think that basically the maximum number of seats that they could come out of would be 55, which is 10. I don't think they're going to get that. I think it's going to be closer to maybe 51, 52, 53 seats. But, you know, obviously the Republicans came in hoping to win the Senate back. And, you know, I think that a few days out, they look pretty, you know, in pretty good shape to do that. Although I will say that a lot of these races are very, very close. You know, we have the Republicans currently as narrow favorites in Alaska, Colorado, and Iowa. But really, all those states could potentially go the other way. The races are that close. On the other hand, the Republicans are trying to beat Democratic incumbents in North Carolina and New Hampshire. We think the Democrats are slight favorites in both, but those could both go the other way too. And then you have Kansas, where it's a very Republican state, but the Republican incumbent, Senator Pat Roberts, is fighting for his life against an independent candidate named Greg Orman. We don't know which party Orman would caucus with. And so those are six races right there, all of which are important, all of which are pretty close.
What is the biggest reason for Republicans being in position to knock off quite a few incumbents here? A lot of people obviously look at the president's popularity rating right now in a lot of these states and say that's reason number one. Is it, or is it a combination of factors?
I think it is reason number one. I think it's two reasons. In the case of a Mark Pryor in Arkansas, or a Mary Landrieu in Louisiana, or Mark Begich in Alaska, all Democratic incumbents, you know, it's just a really tough year to be running in these really, you know, in states that are very Republican at the presidential level, in a midterm year where they have to sort of run essentially with the, you know, the president in many ways, and Republicans have tried to tie them to the president, and it's really the only strategy you need in states where the president's approval rating, you know, if it's a low 40s nationally, it's more like low 30s in these states. So, you know, the terrain, it's a combination of the terrain and the president's unpopularity. And I guess the third factor is just the very consistent trend in American history that the midterm year is generally not good for the president's party.
And particularly in a second term. Two quick questions on the in other areas before we let you go. Not a lot of attention nationally on the House, since Republicans, pretty much everyone agrees, are likely to maintain the majority. You have no toss-ups in the House, despite the 435 seats, which tells you about drawing district lines here. But you have Republicans gaining 9 seats, probably. What's the general reason for that?
So the reason we don't have any toss-ups is we had 15 toss-ups, and the way we do it at the Crystal Ball is we pick every race. A lot of people will leave House races as toss-ups because a lot of them are just very difficult to pick, but, you know, it's no fun if you don't pick them all. We picked them, and we'll probably get a bunch of them wrong. But as long as we get the overall number right, we'll be happy with how we did. But yeah, we have Republicans gaining 9 seats in the House. That would put them at 243 seats, which would be one more than the total they won after 2010. I think that'd be a pretty decent night for Republicans. I think Democrats are worried it could go higher. Republicans, on the other hand, worry that it could go lower. Both sides are sort of setting expectations at this point. Typically you'd expect the Republicans in a year like this to win more seats than that, but the House map is very partisan and polarized. Most of the seats are uncompetitive, and, you know, the Democrats hold almost all the really Democratic seats. The Republicans hold almost all the really Republican seats, and there aren't a ton of great targets for either side. So the Republicans are already at 234 seats, and so they're already close to kind of a high water mark. So there's not a ton of potential for them to gain, you know, much more than 9 seats. Although if they went into double digits on election night, I wouldn't be surprised.
Kyle, real quick, on the governor's side, that looks a little bit brighter for Democrats. Is that because the president's unpopularity doesn't translate as well on the state level?
Yeah, governor's race is a little bit different because they're a little bit more localized. And here, too, I think it's important to remember that you go back to the last time these seats were up to sort of see who's overextended. And, you know, when we go back 6 years in the Senate, the Democrats have a good year. Now they're overextended. Well, you go back 4 years in the governor's races, and, of course, that was 2010. The Republicans won a lot of new governorships. And now they have to defend those governorships, and it looks like there's going to be there are a lot of really close races. There's going to be some turnover. I think probably on election night, maybe the Democrats come out with one or two more net governorships than the Republicans do. But at the same time, it's possible the Republicans will play to a draw. Democrats look likely to win Pennsylvania, defeating Tom Corbett, the incumbent there. Republicans look likely to win an open seat in Arkansas. And then there are just a lot of other really competitive big races. I guess the one that everyone's going to be focusing on election night is Florida, where Governor Rick Scott, first-term Republican, is being challenged by Charlie Crist, the former governor who was governor as a Republican and now is a Democrat. That race is really close. I actually kind of think that Crist may just have the tiniest bit of an edge heading into Election Day, but that's a real toss-up right now. So, you know, I think Florida is the big governor's race to watch, but lots of other, 36 states have governor's races this year, and probably at least a dozen of them are really, really competitive.
It's your favorite time of the year, I'm sure, Kyle. Good luck over the next few days and as the results pour in next week.
Thank you.
Kyle Connick, managing editor at Sabatow's Crystal Ball. That would be Larry Sabatow, University of Virginia Center for Politics. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.